You know, as we continue our series on hospitality, I just have to say, I dread having to find a new church. Yeah. Now, some of you may be thinking, but you're the pastor. You don't have to find a new church. I wasn't always a pastor. But how many of you are like me? You dread having to find a new church. Yeah, we feel that? Amen to that. Yeah. So, I mean, but yet some of us have been blessed to grow up in the same church and have the same faith family for all of our life. And what an incredible blessing. But others of us, sometimes we find ourselves in a new home, a new town, a new community, and we need to find a new church. And when Fran and I moved to Dallas so I could attend seminary, we started hunting for a new church. And we weren't just looking for a place to attend. We were looking for a community, a place to make friends, and more importantly, a place to serve God. And we had some cousins who had recently moved nearby they were looking for a new church. So we thought, you know, we'll start by their house and going with them. After all, this ought to be a fun and an exciting adventure, meeting new people, new churches, and a great way to get engaged with a community and serve God. Sounds like a great adventure, right? Yeah. Man, I was surprised. The first church I attended was a medium-sized church, a little smaller than ours. And the pastor was a retired NFL player, a big guy. I heard great things about him. Some people spoke highly of him. And we went there, and the service was fine. The message was fine. And at the end of worship, I gathered in line with everyone else. Just like you greet me here, I gathered in line to go greet the pastor and to shake his hand. And when I got up to him, I grabbed his hand firmly and looked him in the eye. And he had a big smile and welcomed me. And I introduced myself and that we were new here, new to the community. And we were looking for a new church to get involved. Because, you know, I just started attending seminary. And we were looking for a way to serve God together. And his smile disappeared. And then he no longer wanted to have anything to do with me. And he didn't want to talk to us and said, "We don't need you." And so in total shock and surprise, we left and never went back to that place. And then we attended several other churches that had beautiful facilities, wonderful worship services, and dynamic preaching. Yet there was one consistent theme, place after place that we went to. No one was there to greet us when we walked in the door or when we came to attend worship or to find a place to sit down. Sure, sometimes someone was there to offer a bulletin, but it usually lacked a smile or any kind of warm welcome, and even less thanked us for being there after worship was over. The next, we attended two churches that were well known in our area for their worship and for their community engagement. By this time, we had made some friends. It had been several months, and we had made some friends who were attending these places. And so we thought, surely one of these places will be the place. One was very close to my seminary, and one was right next door to our apartment complex. The first was very large, extremely wealthy, and highly influential. It's the place you wanted to go if you wanted to meet somebody important, if you wanted to rub elbows, if you wanted to shake hands with a previous president. It was incredibly difficult to find a parking place. We ended up parking 5 blocks away. And when we arrived, people seemed to know where they were going. Yet the place was a maze of stairs and hallways and even elevators. And no one stood at the door to welcome us. And there were no signs that gave us any directions on where we needed to go. And eventually I found my way to a welcome desk. And I went up there. And there was a young lady in an animated conversation with a young man who was standing next to her behind the welcome desk. And I waited patiently for their conversation to pause. Yes, it was awkward. And finally, she looked at me and I said, "Hey, we were looking for a contemporary worship place at that time." And I said, "Can you point me out to where this place is?" Because they had multiple worship services going on at the same time.
And you would have think that I had just asked her to host me like Abraham did the angels. Because she went, oh, it's that way. I mean, I think her old eyes rolled into the backside of her head. And I looked down to where she pointed, and it was a hallway that had other hallways connecting to it in other rooms, and people were coming and going in and out of all of them. And that way didn't help me out. And so I said, can you be a little more specific, please? And another lady was walking by, and she happened to know her, and so she hollered at her and said, hey, can you take these people to where they want to go? And fortunately, that lady was kind and polite, and she took us to the worship place. And we went there, and the worship was good, and the preaching was good, but our experience had already been ruined. And then the next place we attended was another huge church right next to our apartment complex. They had a massive parking garage, like five-story parking garage, with elevators that took you right to the level of worship, with signs there, and all the hallways came together to a massive central worship location. It was impossible to get lost. And the worship was amazing. The preaching was fantastic. And they even had a time to share the peace, to greet one another during worship. And so we got out and we thought, we're going to meet some people from this church. And as we shook hands, we realized that everybody around us was brand new as well. None of them knew anything about the church. And by the end of church, we were looking for people to talk to tell us, give us a little information. But there was nobody there. They had a nice welcome desk, but there was nobody there. And we finally left. And the only person from the church that greeted us was the armed security guard who said, have a nice day. None of these churches made a real effort to engage with us. Despite the fact that we filled out all the newcomer information. And two of them, the last two, did actually send us letters in the mail. About a week or two later, we got those, and ironically, they were asking for money. Unfortunately, they all lacked hospitality. Finally, after months, it was the seventh church that we attended that was different. And I'm still amazed that it took us seven churches to find a place that actually welcomed us, told us they were glad that we were there, and encouraged us to get involved. I'm going to name them because this was Lover's Lane United Methodist Church. They have a funny name because the original church was on Lover's Lane in Dallas. But they welcomed us. They included us into their life. They made us feel like they were actually glad to have us there and that they wanted us to be a part of their faith family. When you know it, that's where we spent the next 3.5 years. And while I was looking for a large church where I could learn from and intern in, I hadn't planned on working while I was in seminary. Yet after a few months there, they asked me to come on staff to be the church administrator for the contemporary service to help manage and organize the contemporary staff. This was a large church after all. And then a few months later, they asked me to come on and be the pastor of evangelism. We had an intentional focus on hospitality because the reality is hospitality is evangelism. And my experience has had a profound effect on me on how I see hospitality. And going forward for those next 3+ years as we were focusing on this, we averaged over 250 new members a year. And that wasn't including the other new people who came in who just attended and who were a part of the worship experience. But these were new members. And then we also had over 70 adult baptisms each year. And that wasn't including the infants and the confirmands. And while Mountain Home doesn't have a population to support those kind of numbers, we do have new people coming in our doors every Sunday. And our community population of the city and the surrounding area of Mountain Home is less than 50% Christian. That provides us ample opportunity to truly live into our mission statement of making life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. Friends, we can pack this place if we wanted to, if we're willing to do the hard work, if we're willing to learn and to practice the art of hospitality. You know, the more people I talk to, the more common I find our experiences. Here's the thing. Church shouldn't be an inhospitable experience. We should never make anyone feel unwelcome unless they pose a danger to our people. Hospitality should be the core of who we are as a church. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, hospitality has been a part of our faith since God called Abraham. As we look closer at our scripture today, God invited Abraham and Sarah to follow him into a new life, to a new land, into a new faith. And when they went, Abraham and Sarah, they were old. They had no children, and they were beyond the age of bearing children. Yet God promised them that if they were to follow, that God would bless them and give them children and make Abraham the father of many nations. And so by faith, Abraham and Sarah followed. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know exactly how they were going to get to wherever it was that God was leading them. But they knew that God would fulfill his promise. And even after they had been following God for several years, and God still, they still didn't have their promised son, they trusted God. And then one day they set up camp at a place known as the Oaks of Mamre. This is just east of the West Bank, just outside our modern day Holy Land. And Abraham is sitting there in the shade of his tent in the door where he can catch the breeze of the air moving around. And three men come walking by. And Abraham recognizes that God is with these men. And so he runs out to greet them. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. No, he rushes out to greet them. And he invites them in. And he offers to wash their feet and prepares them a meal. And it's not just a meal. Abraham and Sarah make them a feast. When it's all said and done, as the men leave, before they leave, they bless them. They assure them of God's promise and that within a year, they will have their promised son. But here's the thing. Abraham and Sarah didn't have to invite the men in. They didn't have to prepare a feast. They didn't have to show hospitality. Yet if they hadn't shown such hospitality, they could have missed out on this blessing. Because when they passed by, Abraham and Sarah offered them a place at the table. And when they extended hospitality, they experienced a blessing. See, when we open up our lives to make space for someone else, when we take time to see God in other people, when we show hospitality to the neighbor, to the stranger, we might think that we're the ones doing the good work, that we're the ones blessing them. But the truth is, we're the ones receiving the blessing. See, Acts 20:35 teaches us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the reason why it's more blessed to give is because that when we give, then we experience the presence of God in new and amazing ways in our life, and we end up being the ones receiving the blessing. And when we, as people of Christ, as followers of Jesus, as descendants of the faith of Abraham, we are people of hospitality. Our church, your church, is a church of hospitality. And we're going to welcome people. We're going to welcome everyone. We're going to welcome friends and family, of course, but also we're going to get out of our comfort zone and we're going to welcome the neighbor. We're going to welcome the stranger. And we're going to show hospitality, welcoming them as our guest and getting to know them. Because they're not just visitors. Visitors only visit. It's like going to the doctor. You don't want to stick around there. We want them to be our guests. And they will continue to be our guests until they become family. Hebrews 13:2 tells us to keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your home to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels. In other words, entertaining angels without knowing it. So who knows what will happen when we hone our craft in the art of hospitality? I believe more people will want to be a part of our community. When Fran and I moved to Dallas, we were looking for a place to serve, to give, and to belong. It shouldn't take anyone 7 churches to find a place to get engaged and involved and to serve. My experience makes me wonder how many people we've missed. How many people have had a negative experience because we dropped the ball and came up short on hospitality? Thank God that's not the experience of most of us. We're learning to be more hospitable. We're not going to rest on what we've been doing. We're going to continue to get better. And I thank God that we are a church, that we are people who are on board to get better. This is why a few weeks ago we hosted a hospitality training. And in that hospitality training we gave out, not only did we do the training, but we gave out a hospitality handbook to everyone that was there. And if you didn't get one or if you missed the training, I invite you to get one. There are some at the Welcome Center back there, and there's some in the office. And if we run out, let us know. We will print more for you. But in here is the basis of what we are doing for hospitality. This is why we've updated our guest connection cards. This is why we've updated the tumblers that we're giving out instead of just the mugs or the plastic cups that we're giving out, something nicer. It's more than the cards, and it's more than the tumblers, and it's more than the prayer squares we give out, and it's more than the prayer cards we give out, and it's more than the visits we make. And it's so much more that is something that all of us are involved in, all of us participate in. Because we want to offer a radical hospitality experience. Radical hospitality is hospitality that goes beyond being friendly. It sees the presence of God in the other person. And then it acts with intentionality that surprises and delights people, that makes them want to return again and again and again. It helps them to feel noticed, giving them personal attention and excellent follow-through. It blesses them, but then that blessing is multiplied back to us. And it's not just the staff that's learning to focus on hospitality. It's not just the leaders. It's all of us, the whole church. Next Sunday is Back to Church Sunday. I encourage you to bring your friends, bring your neighbors, because we're going to practice some of this. It's going to be a fun, delightful time, and I want you to bring everybody you can with us as we practice extending some of this hospitality, because I want the whole church to help enhance our hospitality, to help people feel truly welcomed, help people feel at home. And we're going to continue on that we don't just practice it here, but we're going to extend it beyond these walls into our everyday life, at home, at work, at school, wherever it is that we go, so that whenever we engage someone that is outside, that they experience hospitality in our presence. And when we do this, it will change our life. It will change our family. It will change our community. Hospitality is at the root of our faith. And when we show hospitality, invariably we are the ones that are more blessed than even the ones we welcome. So next time we see someone that we don't know or someone new, let's offer them hospitality and welcome them with the unconditional, uncalculated, unlimited love of Christ. Amen?